one more time. The singers were singing 2,000 years ago, a baby was born. How is it that 2,000 years later, we are still celebrating that birth? It's because of who, not he was, but who he is. Amen. Amen. And I want to say that I appreciate all of you who have put God first and to be in his house tonight. There are probably a jillion things, that's expanding a little bit, I guess, but many things you need to be doing. Am I right? Anybody need to be doing other things tonight? But you chose to be here. And I want to tell you, because you chose to be here, he chose to be here. Amen. And he's in this house tonight. Now, we can just say, ho-hum, yeah, we know that. But what I want to encourage us to do right now for the next few minutes is to worship him. I really feel that on this eve of Christmas Eve, if we could just push aside all that we need to do and all the things we've got planned for tomorrow and the day after and put him first for the next little while, let's just praise and worship him for a little bit. Lift your hands and your hearts and your minds and your voices. Let's give him praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. God, we worship you. We are thankful you're in this house. We do not take it for granted that you're in this house. We praise and magnify your holy name. We glorify you. We believe in you, O God. We trust in you, Lord. Thank you for your blessings and your goodness to us. Thank you for our families. Thank you for our jobs. Thank you, O God, for all that you have done for us. Thank you for this congregation of people. Thank you for this family of God. Thank you most of all for your holy presence in this place. We worship you, O God. We magnify you, Lord. We believe in you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's clap our hands in praise and worship to him. Let's give him glory tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. 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 I'm afraid if we're not careful, we will take for granted what we have. It will become commonplace to us. And I'm just going to lift up Jesus for a little while tonight. Is that all right with you? Amen. I feel like that's what God wants us to do tonight. So if you'll just give me your attention for the next few moments, starting with 1 Timothy 3:16, and I just want to lift him up. Just want to magnify him for a little bit. 1 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, there's no argument about it. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. It's talking about Jesus. Amen. It's talking about Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. And then if you'll look at Matthew 1 and 23. December 12th, we didn't have services here. So my wife and I went on the internet, as we many times do on Sundays, when we, before church and after church and whenever we can. And we caught Brother Mike Williams preaching from Matthew 1, 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son. Still talking about Jesus. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And he mentioned the fact, commenting on the word Emmanuel, and he stated that correctly parsed, or correctly understood, or going back to the original, it actually is with us God. I later checked this out in my Greek English lexicon. When they gave the placement of the words of that verse, it does say, which is being interpreted it, which is being interpreted with us God. All right, there's an old saying, God is in his heaven, all's right with the world. It's not true. It's not true. Because it's when God is right here with us that all's right with the world. Right? Hallelujah. And this term Emmanuel is telling us that Jesus Christ is the with us God. So when he is close to us, like he is here tonight, he is with us. But let me tell you something. When he is far from us, or we don't feel him, or don't think he's anywhere around, he's still with us. And when we are well and strong, he's with us. But then when we are weak and sick, he is still with us. He is the with us God. Let's lift our hands once more and worship him together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We worship you, God, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise God. And you may be seated. Hallelujah. Joseph Gerson, hope I'm pronouncing that right, the current writer of our times. He published a new book a year or so back entitled Jesus, A New Understanding of God's Son. Now, I'm not recommending that you spend your good money to buy it, because from a casual reading, it doesn't seem to be much more than the author's interpretation of the life of Christ. So it probably won't add much, if anything, to your present understanding of Jesus' life and ministry. But I am using excerpts from that book, from the introduction of that book tonight, to illustrate a point I'm making here. In his introduction, he told of making many travels, as writers do, to promote the sales of their book, and making accompanying speeches to promote his book. And here's a couple of comments he said happened to him in his travels. He said, after speaking the invitation to a group of Catholic priests in a Roman Catholic seminary, not college, not even Bible college, seminary, the high school of theology in the Catholic Church, he tells of one priest who asked him, how can you possibly talk about Jesus for an hour and a half? And then he goes on to explain his question to Mr. Curzon, and I quote, the priest told him, we were not taught about Jesus in the seminary. With all our scripture and theology courses, we really never learned anything in depth about Jesus Christ. Did I say seminary? Kind of have to stop and wonder what they did learn, don't you? And then on another occasion, Mr. Gerson writes about giving a 2-hour talk to Bible professors, no less, at a Southern Baptist University in Alabama about Jesus. And when he finished the talk, please understand me, let me interject this here. I am not putting down any churches. I'm telling you, I'm quoting what this fellow said in the introduction of his book. When he finished the talk, a number of professors approached him and said, you will never know what you did by coming here. When he asked them what he had done, they replied, you gave us Jesus. when he pursued it a little farther and asked them what they meant by that comment, they said, and I quote, "We have studied the scripture all our lives and may be considered experts, but you have made us realize we never got to know Jesus." Unquote. That's a quote. Then he goes on in finalizing his introduction by telling of an elderly German lady who said, I quote again, "The way I size up Christianity is like this. The Catholics worship the church. The Protestants worship the Bible. And there are very few who get to know Jesus Christ." In other words, she is making a statement, but she's also asking a question that is uppermost in many people's minds today. When do we ever get to know and worship Jesus? I am so glad I am Jesus' name Pentecostal tonight. Aren't you? Amen. 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 Now, this is certainly not saying Jesus is ignored, nor is it saying he's not acknowledged. He is just overlooked in our present world. So what I am preaching to you tonight is simply the overlooked God. The overlooked God. In this Western world, at Easter and at Christmas, the media usually comes up with an Easter article or a Christmas article or two on Jesus Christ. But you know what? Instead of building our faith in him, these articles seem to twist our perception of who Jesus is. Because most of what they say is 95% their own ideas and about 5% or less of God's truth. And sad to say, the average Christian cannot tell the difference. Because he or she usually doesn't know the truth. Some of these writers have softened and sentimentalized Jesus until he's unrecognizable. Others have twisted and distorted and cast doubt upon him until they make him undesirable. A columnist writing for Time magazine named Reynolds Price wrote such an article in 1999 for a Time magazine Christmas cover story. In his introduction, he wrote these words, quote, "It would require much exotic calculation to deny that the single most powerful figure, not merely in these 2,000 years, but in all human history, has been Jesus of Nazareth." He said that. That wasn't me, wasn't Pastor Grant, wasn't Brother Putnam. It was a news magazine writer. So, I'm coming to my main illustration. Back in the 90s, Ann Graham Lotz, who is the daughter of Billy Graham and a celebrated speaker and writer in her own right, stumbled upon what I believe was a cassette tape of one of our oneness preachers preaching on Jesus Christ being the King of Kings. By her own admission, and here I quote again, "This unknown brother in Christ had absolutely thrilled my soul with his description of my King Jesus." And then she took this tape and, using the Gospel of John, she wrote a Christian bestseller entitled, "Just Give Me Jesus." I like that so much I want us to say it together. Just give me Jesus. Well, can we say that again? Just give me Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I think that book may be out of print, but if you ever see a copy, you should buy it. When you get past her references to easy believism or the Holy Trinity, they're not that extensive, but that book and the message it has will do more to focus your attention on Jesus Christ than any theological book I've ever read. In that book, she tells about growing up around her dad, with the Billy Graham evangelistic team, listening to endless theological discussions on every conceivable subject with all of the top-notch biblical scholars and seminary teachers from most of the prominent denominational backgrounds. She listened to their heated debates and their endless fervent disagreements, experiencing firsthand their passionate arguments. And despite much discussion, she was impressed most of all with how little they could agree on. She wrote about becoming very confused in all this lengthy discussion about God. And in her confused mental condition, when she listened to that tape telling of Jesus Christ in his simplicity, it made sense to her. Her conclusion was this: in the midst of all these theological discussions and arguments and debates, just give me Jesus. Now, I took the time a while back to go through her book and write down all the phrases she gleaned from that recorded testimony on that little cassette tape. Some of it may even have originated with her. I don't know. But I did rearrange it a bit into similar subject matter to help us more easily understand it. And I'm going to spend the next little while talking about Jesus. And let me say this. I'm glad we're Pentecostal. If you feel like clapping your hands or standing and worshiping him or whatever you feel to do, then don't hesitate to participate, because we're here to worship him. We're here to lift him up. We're here to magnify him. It's his birthday. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to start first of all with the Bible telling us who Jesus is, briefly. I'm not going to go into it in detail. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us full of grace and truth. Is that Bible? Anybody here believe that? Of course we do. And then our text again, 1 Timothy 3:16, God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Just give me Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Then let me just give you from this phraseology of this book some of the attributes of Jesus Christ. Jesus is enduringly strong. He is entirely sincere. He is eternally steadfast. He is immortally gracious. He is imperially powerful. He is impartially merciful. Jesus is God's Son. Jesus is the sinner's Savior. Jesus is the captive's ransom. Jesus is the breath of life. Jesus is august and he is unique. He is unparalleled and he is unprecedented. Jesus is undisputed. Jesus is undefiled. Death, he is unsurpassed and he is unshakable. He is his righteousness is always right and his justice is always just. He is the greatest phenomenon that ever crossed the horizons of the globe. His office is manifold and his promise is sure. His life is matchless and his goodness is limitless. His mercy is enough and his grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Hallelujah. He is indestructible. He is the centerpiece of civilization. He stands in the solitude of himself. He is the supreme subject in literature. He is the unavoidable problem in higher criticism. He is the fundamental doctrine of theology. He is the miracle of all the ages. Jesus is the cornerstone and the capstone. And as a result, he has become the stumbling stone of all religion. Just give me Jesus. Let's give him praise. Come on, let's worship him. It's his birthday. Let's lift him high. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now let me just toss in a few phrases related to his unlimited abilities. No means of measure can define his limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the limits of his shoreless supply. He is the foundation of faith. He is the doorway of deliverance. He is the pathway to peace. He is the roadway of righteousness. He is the gateway to glory. He is the highway to happiness. He is indescribable. He is incomprehensible. He is inescapable. He is invincible. He is irresistible. He is irrefutable. And there is no barrier that can keep him from pouring out his blessings upon his people.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Lift your hands and receive some blessings from him right here, right now. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. And let me describe to you some of his capabilities. He discharges the debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the elderly. He rewards the diligent. He beautifies the meek. He is the key of knowledge, and he is the wellspring of wisdom. Anybody hear me?
Let us shed this coat.
You believe that? Amen. Well, let's get a little personal here, and let me describe a few things that he can do for you. He supplies strength to the weary. He increases power to the faint. He offers escape to the tempted. Hallelujah. He sympathizes with the hurting. He saves the hopeless. He protects the helpless. He sustains the homeless. He gives purpose to the aimless. He gives reason to the meaningless. He gives fulfillment to our emptiness. He gives light in our darkness. He gives comfort in our loneliness. He gives fruit in our barrenness. He gives heaven to the hopeless. He gives life to the lifeless. He guards the young. He seeks the stray. He finds the lost. He guides the faithful. He rights the wrong. He avenges the abused. He defends the weak. He comforts the oppressed. He welcomes the prodigal. He heals the sick. He cleanses the filthy. He beautifies the ordinary. He gives fruit to the barren. He restores the failure. He mends the broken. He blesses the poor. He fills the empty. He clothes the naked. He satisfies the hungry. He elevates the humble. He forgives the sinner and he raises the dead.
Hallelujah. 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 Praise God.
Just give me Jesus. Just give me Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Need to tell you right here what I personally know about him. I can't get him out of my mind, and I can't get him out of my heart. And I can't outlive him, and I can't live without him. I must not neglect him, and I will not overlook him. And I must tell you what others knew about him. The Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found they couldn't stop him. Satan tried to tempt him, but he found he couldn't trip him. Pilate examined him on trial, but he found he couldn't find any fault with him. The Romans crucified him, but they found they couldn't take his life. Death could not handle him, and the grave could not hold him. He had no predecessor. He will have no successor. To some, he is the lion. To others, he is the lamb. To some, he is God. And to others, he is man. But biblically, he is the king of all kings. And he is the Lord of all lords. And he is the only God of the universe.
Hallelujah. Come on, let's worship him. It's his birthday. Let's give him praise. Amen. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. I know none of this is new to you. And I understand, but I feel real deeply that we need to be reminded of it regularly. Hallelujah. Amen. Because he is Jesus Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the Lamb of God. And that name reveals that he is God's anointed one. Hallelujah. Amen. And he called out of the masses of the world a chosen people. These are called by his name. When the listeners in Acts 2 ask, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter gave them instructions as to what they should do. And I want you to help me preach a little right here. Then Peter said unto them, "Repent." And that means turn from your past life. And then what? Be baptized. Who? Every one of you. How? In the name of Jesus Christ. Why? For the remission of sins. And what will happen? You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Just a simple old-fashioned gospel. Amen. Amen. Just give me Jesus. Just give me his word. Just give me his spirit. And we can make it. God intends for us to make it. God wants us to make it. God is on our side. He is leading and he is guiding and he is directing. He is anointing and he is blessing. He is lifting and he is encouraging. He wants us to make it.
Come on, let's worship him again.
Amen, 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 amen. So that first group who responded to Peter's instructions on the day of Pentecost became his church. Glad to be a part of that church, aren't you? 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now." When? I can't hear you. Yes, the people of God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Praise God. And it's the instructions of Jesus Christ, his chosen people, the church, are come and follow me. And why is that? Because to follow him is to know him. And to know him is to love him. And to love him is to obey him. And to obey him is to serve him. And to serve him is just simply to show him, to reflect him to the rest of the world.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The reality of who Jesus is presents you and me with a choice. Every person, every born has the right to make this choice. to believe and obey Jesus Christ as God's revelation of himself, or to ignore, overlook, and reject him. If we think we can avoid God by ignoring or overlooking him, we're mistaken. Because both choices, those last that I gave you, are rejection, indirect rejection. John made this point when he states in John 1 and 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He is still overlooked by the world. I am so glad Calvary Gospel Church exists and lifts him up, aren't you? Amen, amen, amen. You see, it would be easier to imagine Ford Motor Company not ever recognizing Henry Ford, or Microsoft not recognizing Bill Gates, or the United States of America not recognizing George Washington, than to imagine man not recognizing his creator. Amen. The majority of our world doesn't recognize Jesus for who he is. The world today teaches, as Brother Rossing said in the beginning, talks of and teaches evolution as the beginning of all things. The world talks of and teaches about Jesus Christ, or if they do, he's just a good man or a well-meaning prophet or a revolutionary zealot. But this world does not recognize Jesus for who he really is, God as man. After all these centuries and millennia have passed, and the vast majority of Christian churches and movements, Jesus Christ is still the overlooked God. Last winter, my wife and I pulled up the Bogalusa Bible Conference on the internet. January, whatever it was. Brother Scott Graham was preaching from John 6:35, where Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." It was the most powerful message I had heard in a while, because he did a comparison between Bible culture, where bread was the center of the meal, and modern culture, where bread is optional in most restaurants. Then he compared that attitude to our attitude, the church's attitude toward Jesus Christ, asking the question, is he still necessary to us, to we personally, or is he just optional? With our great highly organized churches and church services, is Jesus still necessary? Or can we go through our spiritual ceremonies and formalities and calisthenics, and if we're not careful, totally overlook him? He then told of watching. This is an astounding thing. He told about watching a middle-aged man come into the church he pastored one Sunday morning. He stopped in the back there where the ushers are, and he just stood back there watching and listening. His name was Tim. And after the sermon, Tim went to the altar, was baptized, and received the Holy Ghost. And that's what it's all about. Amen. And that's great. We all understand the victory that is. But the most moving thing about what happened in the sanctuary in St. Louis was Tim's testimony. And I only heard it once, so I might not be totally right, but I tried to write down the pertinent facts. If I remember it right, Tim was a pretty rough guy in his early years. And when all of his bad habits turned into addictions, and they always do, when they all turned into addiction, he was hospitalized 20 years before he showed up at the sanctuary for treatment. He was seriously contemplating taking his life. But in that hospital room one night, as he was thinking about suicide, he felt a presence come into that room and tell him that, "Tim, if you'll put your trust in me, everything will be all right. He did. And when he got out, he did get out. When he got out, he began looking for that presence who had come into his hospital room that long ago night. But he was unable to find it. For 20 years, he had visited thousands of churches. Again, listen to me carefully. I'm not putting down other churches. I'm just telling you this man's experience. He had visited thousands of churches, but he could not find again that presence that had come into his hospital room on that long ago day. Until he walked into the sanctuary on that Sunday morning. And the reason, the way I understand it, that he responded and came down and got baptized and received the Holy Ghost was not the singing of a beautiful choir or the special songs or the great preaching of a burdened pastor. But it was because of the presence of Jesus Christ that was in that service on that day. Folks, we have powerful services. My wife and I talked about last Sunday, and especially last Sunday morning, because we pastored for many years in Billings, Montana, and in over 50 years of being in the church, we've seen many Christmas services, special services, powerful services. I remember one service, Christmas service in Billings, where several of our young men received the Holy Ghost, teenagers. Thank God. But we have never experienced a more powerful service than Sunday morning. Somehow the combination of the old King James scriptures telling of the birth of Christ, combined with the anointed singers that were singing like that last song or two they sung tonight, how God was moving. There was a Jordanian Christian sitting beside me Sunday morning. He could not fathom the Spirit of God moving. He just put his hands, his face in his hands and bent over. I thought maybe he was negatively influenced, but he wasn't. He said, I have never experienced this in all of my life. This isn't ordinary, folks. That's what I'm saying. This beautiful Pentecostal truth that you and I have a handle on, it is going to take this for our world to be saved. Amen. And I want you to know, whoever you are and wherever you are seated here tonight, if this is maybe your first time at church or maybe you've been just kind of hanging around the outer fringe, it's time for you to understand that this is truth and this is real. And in the middle of all the other stuff that's happening, just give me Jesus. Just give me Jesus. That's all I need. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me tonight? One time in Montana, I taught a home Bible study to a group of professional people. Very intimidated, overwhelmed. I went out there every night for several weeks and wound up talking about the mighty God in Christ, not in a belligerent or offensive way, but I described some of the things that I told you tonight. And when it was over, they began throwing me the normal questions about the Trinity things. And I didn't have a lot of experience at that point, but I was handling them as best I could. I hadn't noticed the man who owned the house. His name was Willis Jones. sitting up on the stair, listening to it all. Finally, when I had explained about as much as I could explain, Willis spoke up. He stood up and he said, "Let me tell you something." He said, "I am a lawyer with an analytical mind. I did not believe all the stuff I had been hearing about Christianity, so I wasn't a Christian. Until one day a golfing friend of mine and I were out on the golf links. We were playing through and I expressed my doubts about Christianity, and he looked back at me and he said, 'Willis, you're going to have to forget all the theological arguments and center your attention on Jesus Christ.'"
Yeah.
And he said, "What this young man has told you today is the absolute truth. If you will get hold of Jesus and forget all this other stuff, you'll be saved." Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. And I say to you tonight, if you will reach up for Jesus, if you will begin to ask God just to give you Jesus, God will touch you, and God will bless you, and God will take away your sins. God will remove your addictions. God will handle your burdens. God will work it all.